You said at the beginning there are too many groups. I attend several groups that meet once a week. I go to business meetings and contribute because I'm interested in the health of the group. Where do I draw the line regarding groups, business, and service versus a home group? So I know there have been, differing opinions on this given today by a bunch of us here. But the tradition is the tradition. Each group is to be fully self-supporting based on the voluntary contributions of their own members. So servants and leaders can say all they want, that they want to fund other groups, have social, financial assistance. It's not what the tradition says. It just doesn't say that. In the big book, on page 51, some people call it the bedevilments. Some people call it the description of untreated alcoholism. Yeah, 52. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We're having trouble with our personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. In my experience in AA, I've had many people come to me who say, Billy, I have financial problems. I think that's a common thing that a lot of people talk to their sponsors about. I can tell you my experience. Whether I'm in my backyard or in a diner or wherever, 99% of the time, it's the same problem. They spend more money than they take in. There's no real complicated kind of like analysis. Like they simply spend more money than they take in. And I'm not talking about people with like nothing. I'm talking about people who just overspend. And I don't think anybody would ever tell one of those people, you know what? Just get another credit card. Take cash advances to pay off the minimums on those other cards. Why do we treat AA worse than we would treat an AA member? We would never tell an AA member to continue to be living in untreated alcoholism. But we're willing to do that with groups. I'm not saying don't go to those other groups. I'm not saying don't go to those other business meetings. And if you told me, like, I know of a group that's in Utah near Zion National Park that has like 6 members. Yes, they have to rotate from chair to GSR to leader. Like they have 6 members. There's no absolutes. And I think it's great that you go to all these meetings. All I'm saying is the one you should support the most is your home group. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying don't go to the others. I'm not saying, but we are trying to bankrupt other groups. Imagine what I said about the area and the district. Groups are giving money to the district and the area to reach suffering alcoholics, not to bail out non-supporting groups. Sponsorship workshops, new to meeting workshops. Those are all great ideas. Most of the problems in AA come from sponsorship. Most of the problems, you know, I think it's sometimes very sad when you talk to a person who you hear in a meeting who say they've been in and out of AA for months or years, and you talk to them outside, and after you talk to them for half an hour, you're like, yeah, well, you've been in and out of a lot of things for a couple of years, but not AA. Like, you haven't been in AA. You've been around AA. And, you know, when people try to lessen how deadly alcoholism is, it's dangerous. I'm not here for my ism. I have lots of employees. They all have isms. What 90% of them don't have is a physical allergy to alcohol and a mental obsession. You know, we're here because of how deadly alcoholism is. How should district provide finances for district offices if the group need to be self-supporting? I just want to stress, let's give a couple of examples. Yes, there are people who can afford to pay their own expenses to do AA service. But it's problematic on a lot of levels. Number one, service in AA was never supposed to be dependent on economic status, ever. Every AA member has the right to hold every position, regardless of their socioeconomic condition. That's number one, just on that level. Number two is it destroys our budgeting process. Let's just say you're the corrections chair. Let's just say you have enough money to not have to turn in mileage, to not have to submit a bill to go to the quarterly, or all that stuff, whatever. I know how AA budgets are put together. The treasurer looks at how much money we spent last year, thinks about if there's anything new coming along, and puts a decent budget number there. If you're in the financial position where you don't have to, where you don't need the reimbursement, I'm going to give you a suggestion. Hand in the form, get your reimbursement, and throw it in an AA basket. Do not set up the next person for failure. Like, I know my socioeconomic condition when I was a GSR. I know it when I was a delegate. I know it today. I don't have a right to let the person serving behind me think that they can't stand for the position because they have to live in the same neighborhood as I do or make the same amount of money as I do. That's ridiculous. It's never what AA was supposed to be. Everybody has a right to serve. Please explain to us what the treasurer does with the money. When is the statement from the bank? I've never seen a statement or a note from GSO. Yeah, well, that's another thing. Don't ever let a treasurer in GSO ever tell you you don't get to see something. Now, that doesn't mean you get to like be a forensic auditor. Okay, I'm not saying that. But if your simple request is, hey, could you bring the bank statement to the next district meeting? I struggle when people, like, has anyone else ever worked in a place where you got a note or an email that said, just letting everyone know, so-and-so is visiting next Friday. Please make sure the kitchen is clean and your office doesn't look like a garbage pit. And like our bosses, we want it to look good for our boss. There's nothing wrong with that. Why don't AA leaders treat GSRs like that? Why don't AA leaders think that? I have bad news for AA leaders. If the request comes from above you in the triangle, it's not optional. It's not optional. So let me give you that example. The GSR asked the district treasurer or the area treasurer to see a copy of a bank statement. It's not optional. Now, it doesn't mean they have to stop everything and give it to them right then. But I will tell you this. The district treasurer and the area treasurer have no business asking the group for theirs. It only goes one way, up or down. Our bosses are above us. While we have great area corrections chairs and area treatment chairs and area CPC chairs and area PI chairs, their jobs is not to regulate what the districts do. Their jobs is maybe to help them. It's the district BCM's and GSR's job to tell the area what to do. And that has flipped upside down in the last 20 or 30 years. And probably because, you know, it was very common 30 or 40 years ago to see a district chair get elected alternate delegate or delegate. Very common. We did not have these long tables of like so many area officers, and every officer had an alternate, and you were told it, and now you're told you have to do 2 years in every position. There was none of that 30 or 40 years ago. I was there. I'm young. I was there. The best person for the job gets elected to the job. It's no requirement. So if your treasurer is not doing this, I would talk to your chairperson. It's funny. Last summer, I was on a panel with a couple of past trustees, and we all said, you know, because Bill says in the beginning of the concepts, there's an introduction. And he says, none of our structure is hardened like gospel. And there might always be time for structural change. And the one thing that all four past trustees agreed upon was that while we understand why the decision was made to keep inner groups outside the service structure, it was out of respect. They existed before general service. Chicago being the first central office, and go on from there. In every other country, inner groups are part of the general service structure. You go to any of the other 63 structures, inner groups are part of general service. So we're left with our legacy structure, which is basically a dual structure. Area 11 recently had a new inner group that opened up last year, and it's causing a little friction up there. But we have to realize that there are vast swaths of geography that you can't find an intergroup of central office for thousands of miles, especially in Canada, especially in the northwest part of our country, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota. But we can't help it. We do have two service entities. I think the biggest mistake that's been made is those entities that are in the same geographic location not spelling out what each does, so that we're not double funding or underfunding one side and overfunding another. Like what you just said, there are a lot of places I know that have intergroups where they say the intergroup does the wet work. The intergroup provides the meeting locations and the directories and the people who actually go into the correctional facilities and the people who do the treatment and the people who, that's considered the wet work. The general service side deals with the communicating to New York and the agenda items. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but what we should be doing is make sure we're not double spending money and that there are clear delineations about which does. I mean, there are some very bad statements out there when people say intergroup's not AA. It's horrific. How could people say that? In the original service manual, it is a description. That's why when people say general service is service. No, we have three legacies, unity, recovery, and service. And general service is a small part of that service piece. It says in the original service manual that intergroups are part of service. But again, where I see the difficulties is when we're spending money for the same service and dividing it to two separate sides. Or, you know, like I say to every, not only do I believe that every corrections chair, treatment chair, CPC chair, PI chair, every intergroup version of that should know who their general service version of that is, and vice versa. They should know who each other is and what each other does and what each other does not do. I even say today, how can you be a corrections chair or a PI chair in AA and not know who the NA corrections chair is, not know who the NA PI chair is? We cooperate with anyone, it says. But I do think this thing, what it's doing is it's putting us out of business financially. And that's not an understatement. We used to not, believe it or not, up until 2012, the General Service Office website was not available to AA members, not for ordering literature. That was only available to intergroup central offices and lodge purchases of literature. If you were an AA member or a group, you had to send in like one of those old fax forms, or you had to call the office The reason was that is going back many years, there was kind of a unwritten gentleman's agreement that Inner Groups would be the retailer and the office would be the wholesaler. But we started getting so many letters from people who lived in places without Inner Groups that said, how unfair is this? And now, if you look at the purchasing, because I was on that board that decided to let anyone order from New York, Inner Groups still have an advantage because they can bulk order, and therefore their delivery charges are less, and maybe it's less for the AA member to buy. But an AA member can have one big book shipped to them. But the problem is that most of our Inner Groups, this is the problem with AA as a whole. I'm just giving you my view looking at financials. When you become dependent on anything other than contributions, your business model is failing. That's it. You show me an Inner Group that's in trouble, I'll show you an Inner Group that's become over-dependent on literature profit or started selling other people's books or started selling bumper stickers or jewelry or God knows what other recovery-related gift item. The minute we start selling that stuff, we're dependent on something besides contributions. You know, at the general service office, literature profit is like maybe, I don't know, 18%, 20%, 80% is funded by contributions, by the profit, not the revenue. You look at Inner Groups around the country, they're 50% or more funded by literature or by other things, and it was never meant to be that way. It's such a bad business model. But you know, your question, I get it all the time, and I talk to people. I wonder why more general service districts are not meeting with their Inner Groups and not making sure that they're not providing the same services and that they're adequately funded for what they do. That's why I said when I talked about the seventh tradition, check what financial condition your Inner Group is in. Check what financial condition your district is in. And see what they're doing with the money. If you're sending money to somebody who's just giving it to somebody else, I can tell you, when I send a check, which I do every month to Dr. Bob's house, that's a charity donation, not an AA contribution. But I don't expect them to send that money to Stepping Stones. I sent it for Dr. Bob's house. When I send money to the North County in Palm Beach Inner Group, I expect them to use that money for alcoholics who are dying in the north part of Palm Beach County, not to give it to someone else. Why do AA leaders believe that they're smarter than groups? I don't get it. I don't understand it. And by the way, if we were anyone else besides AA, we'd be in big trouble. You are not allowed to take gifts as a nonprofit that you tell people you're using for your service and use it and give it to someone else. There are groups in Maine, geographically in Maine, that belong to the French, one of the French Canadian Quebec regions or areas, because they're mostly French speaking. Okay. There are groups, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Quad Cities, but it's four cities on the border of Illinois and Iowa. They're right there on the border, on the other side of the river from each other. They decide who they want to. Now, what I would say is the group should only be voting in one of those Inner Groups. But who they contribute money to goes to the other rule. What? I said they should only be voting in one of the Inner Groups. That's the way I would look at it. But who they contribute money to. Now, if both of those Inner Groups are serving the group, then maybe they do deserve a vote there. And that would make sense. I know this. There are two kinds of business in AA. My business and none of my business. And what that group does is none of my business. I really mean that. Like what I think becomes bad is I've seen a trend lately. There are groups that are mad at New York right now. I don't even like to say New York. The General Service Board, the General Service Office, they're mad about the preamble. They're mad about the plain language big book. They're mad about this. People are always mad in AA. If you want to withhold your seventh tradition contribution, that's your business. But I now hear people saying, send it to Dr. Bob's or Stepping Stones instead. Those board members for both of those outside organizations would say AA groups should not send money to them. If an AA member wants to, that's fine. I think we send AA money to AA service entities, but yeah, if your area or your group is being served by all those entities, it's up to them to send the money, not me.